Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, good morning. So we started a series a couple of weeks ago called The Songs of Christmas. It's kind of our Advent series. And what we've been doing, we talked about this the first week, is that we're walking through some of the classic Christmas hymns of the church, these beloved songs of our faith, and we're looking at them through this lens of Scripture and understanding the theology and the themes behind them. And so this week, as I was kind of studying, as looking at Angels We Have Heard on High, I got kind of caught up in the history of it because it's kind of a hard song to find the beginning of who actually wrote it. So we see on there, and I don't know if you saw this whenever we were singing it, but we actually see that there's kind of this Anglo-Irish priest who is given credit for transcribing it into English in the version that we sing now, and his name was James Chadwick. But the truth is that the song is actually a lot older than that. It's found in the French hymn book in French, by another name, but we still see the same song. But there's no indication of who actually wrote it. And so as I was kind of thinking about that this week and just kind of sitting in that, I was overwhelmed with an idea of the text that song comes from. And I want you to kind of, as we read through this text, I want you to kind of see if you can feel and understand exactly what kind of overwhelmed me and the thought that I had about this particular song. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Luke? We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 8.
Keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left him and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, ma'am. So before we kind of take a deeper look into this passage this morning and what it teaches us particularly on joy, I think it's important that we take a second to actually define what biblical joy is. You kind of heard it a minute ago whenever we had the reading, but I want to make sure that we understand this because unfortunately in our culture, we have a difficult time genuinely understanding the difference between happiness and joy. I mean, we see the word joy plastered everywhere right now, right? Wherever you look, you go to the stores, to shop, you're going to see the word joy. You're going to find it on an ornament. You're going to see it on a painting. You're going to see it all over the place. And I don't want to be a Grinch here, but I doubt very seriously that our beautiful, society who loves to sell things is doing that because they're trying to connect us to Jesus. Like, if you listen to any of the commercials, just think about any of the commercials that you've seen on social media or on TV, and think about what they're really trying to sell you, right? Because they're gonna sell you on this nostalgia of Christmases past, right? That's what all of the commercials are doing. They're trying to draw you into those feelings that you had when you were younger and the beautiful, wonderful Christmases and opening up the packages and all of those kinds of things. But it's just that. They're not selling you joy. They're selling you happiness. And the reason that I know that this is the truth is because happiness, like we heard earlier, is based off of our experiences and our circumstances. It's not based off of the hope of who God is and God's character. It's based off of what we are feeling in the moment. And because it's based off of a feeling, happiness, just as quickly as it came, it can go. Joy, on the other hand, is much, much different because it's based on the character of God. And it's actually a choice that we make to trust in His goodness, in His character, despite what's going on around us, despite our circumstances. It's not a feeling. And it lasts because it's not based on us and our changing lives, but it's based on the unchanging truth of who God is. And so while we read this morning this incredible interaction between the angels and the shepherds that night, I want to focus in on one particular verse. One verse that we heard already in the reading and that we heard again whenever it was read to us just a second ago. Because in verse 10, we're going to see how joy has already come. It's already come. And how each of us in here this morning, we can have joy. We can have joy. So let me read the verse again. It says this: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." You know, during this Christmas season, we talk a lot about angels, right? We see it kind of everywhere, whether it be in the nativities that are set up in the yard or whether we go again to the stores and we see the angels that are kind of depicted on that. And the truth is, there's all sorts of different views and different looks of those angels. And just as much as we have different ways that we interpret what an angel looks like, we also kind of have different interpretations of what angels are in the first place. The truth is, so much of this is actually apocryphal. What I mean by that is that it's not found within the revelation of Scripture. We kind of just start making ideas about what we think angels are. Like my favorite's always the cherubs. You know what I'm talking about. The little babies that have wings. We don't read that anywhere in the Scriptures, right? Babies do not terrify me, if I'm honest. I love babies. I want to hold babies. The depictions that we have in the Scriptures are terrifying of what angels are. You do not want to be around them. In fact, every single time an angel appears, you know the very first thing they say? Do not be afraid, right? Why? Because they were terrifying, okay? They weren't babies. So we have this misunderstanding. But simply the word angel, it comes from the Greek word angelos, and all it means is messenger. That's all the word means. It means messenger, because that's exactly what these beings were. They were messengers who came and delivered a particular message to a group of people. And that's exactly what Luke records here in verse 10. It says, "The angel declares, I bring you." Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "I have for you," "I want to tell you," or even, "Listen to me." No, "I bring you." So here's what he's saying. "I am sharing with you the message that was given to me to give to you. I'm giving it to you." And it sounds like a really small detail, but the truth is it's not, because there's something important in those three words, "I bring you." Because the angel out there in the field with these shepherds had been sent. He didn't come on his own volition. He didn't make the decision. No, he had been commissioned with this task of giving this message to these men. And then the question that we have to ask is, by who? Who sent the angel? God Almighty. God Himself sent the angel, as He does over and over again in the Scriptures. He's the one who sends these messengers. And here's why this is important. Here's why this is important. Because God is always the one who initiates. God is always the one who initiates. Several years ago, a worship leader by the name of Matt Redman, he wrote this incredible song called "Gifted Response." And the first lyrics that start out the song, it says this: "This is a gifted response, Father. We cannot come to you by our own merit. We will come in the name of your Son as he glorifies you and in the power of your Spirit." Yes. Yes, that's why this is so significant. We cannot come to God based on our own effort, our own goodness, our own morality. In fact, that's not the Christmas story. The Christmas story isn't that I went to God. The Christmas story is that God came to us. He came to us. And all we do is we simply respond to the gift of his grace that he's made known to us. We respond. He initiates. The book of Romans, Paul actually echoes this idea. He says this: "There is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God." So listen, if you are here this morning and you have a relationship with God, it was not at your own initiation. It wasn't because you sought out God. You didn't seek him out. He was seeking you. He was seeking you. It was him in pursuit of you, of your heart. Because God always initiates. And all that we do is respond. He initiates, we respond. So even the joy that we hear these angels declare comes through God's initiative. God is the one who gifts us joy. It begins with him, at his initiative. Now, don't miss this next part in the verse, though. The message that God had given to this angel to deliver is this: good news of great joy. The good news. Anyone know another word that we use quite often to define those two words? I heard it. There it is. Gospel, right? Gospel. And it's why each of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why they are called gospels. Each of them is good news. And it's the good news that Jesus of Nazareth is God incarnate who lived, breathed, and loved on this earth. That because of the way he loved others so perfectly, humanity in its wickedness rejected him and chose to crucify him, thinking they could get rid of God. But as each account tells us, Jesus could not stay dead because he was not just a human being. We learned this a couple of weeks ago. He was fully man, but he also was fully God. And how do you keep the author of life dead? You can't. You don't. But even more than that, this is what Jesus said. This God-man, he says that anyone who would believe in him, that he is the Son of God, that he is the rescue for sinners, that they can be saved. That's why this good news is news that comes with great joy. Because Jesus had finally come. He was breaking into human existence. We sang about this a minute ago. The culmination of all of Israel's hope had finally come. But not just Israel's hope. Our hope, humanity's hope, had finally come. Church, that's why we get excited at the season of Advent. That's why we get excited. This anticipation that's been building up for us every week as we light these candles. Because we get to say that our God is with us. That should thrill our hearts. That should thrill our hearts. God is with us. And we know that he will come again when he will make all things new and all things right. This is the beginning of the end. And he is with us. How can it get more incredible than that? It can't. That's why joy has come through the message of the gospel. So catch that. Joy is initiated by God because he is the foundation of joy. But joy is experienced through the gospel message that sinners can now be forgiven and restored to a relationship with God because Jesus has come into the world. Now let me ask you a question about this. If you heard this news, this incredible news, this life-transforming news that the gospel message is declared to you, right? Can I ask, who's the first person you'd want to tell? Who's the first person that you'd want to share that news with? I remember several years ago, the actor Shia LaBeouf became a Christian. Like, it was like everywhere, right? It was all over social media. People were sharing that everywhere. And I just remember this kind of this buzz of like, man, Shia LaBeouf's now a Christian. It's going to be awesome. Like, we're going to see people turn faith to Jesus. It's going to be incredible. And I just remember, like, again, I wasn't like bummed. I was like, I love that this guy has come to know Jesus, right? That's awesome. We should always rejoice when a sinner comes to know Jesus. But I was also kind of thinking, like, I don't think this guy's going to be like a savior of Hollywood or anything. You know, it's not like he's going to all of a sudden turn everybody's hearts to Jesus, and there's going to be this beautiful Christian morality that's going to be lived out through Hollywood. I never thought that. And I'm not trying to be like a Debbie Downer or anything, but I just didn't think that that was going to happen. And the truth is, you can insert any celebrity that you want to here. Any celebrity. Kirk Cameron, for you 80s people. Justin Bieber. Chris Pratt. Right? All of these people. And I know, that seems like I'm extremely pessimistic about this. But here's why. Because when God shared the good news that Jesus' arrival was come, he did not announce it to the rich, affluent, famous, or powerful. He revealed it to the socially outcast, these impoverished men who were tending their livestock out in a field. Men who most of the Jewish society would have avoided because of their inability to keep the cleanliness laws of the Old Testament. Who couldn't even get to the temple to ritually be cleansed because they were out with their sheep and having to do their job. Men so soiled by their occupation that they would have reeked of the sheep that they tended. Just think about that for a second. Just let that sink in. The very ones that were rejected by society on account of their impurity were the first ones that God chooses to share the gospel with. God was emphatically making a statement. The good news of the Savior's birth isn't for the clean, the wealthy, or the perfectly positioned pious. The good news of the gospel is for those who can't keep themselves clean. The ones who recognize and don't try to hide that they're dirty. I mean, it wasn't like these shepherds were trying to bust into the social circles of society where they're in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem, right? They were out with their sheep in the fields. They knew their position. They were humbled by it. And here's why this is important. Because it means that the joy that we experience has come through the message of the gospel for everyone. For everyone. Jesus has come for those whose sin is so bad that they avoid good, pious church people. The ones who know they have nothing to offer God. They have no good works to cling to. But look at the shepherds. Look at their response. These men, look what they do. They immediately went to see if what the angels told them was true. The scripture says this, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They found that the message that was shared to them, this good news of great joy, was true because they found Jesus. They found him. And once they found him, they could not help but tell anyone they met. They left, proclaiming it to every single person that they saw. Church, you and I are the shepherds. You need to see this. We are morally unclean, reeking of our sin. We were the last people who should have heard anything about good news. But here's what's amazing. If you can hear my voice this morning, God is declaring to you the joy of the good news that Jesus Christ has come into this world. And I stand with the Apostle Paul as he told his young protege, Timothy, Christ Jesus has come into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. For some in here this morning, God's been pursuing you for a while. You know, it may have been an invitation to come to church this morning. It may have been a conversation with a coworker over here, or maybe something you saw on social media that gave you pause to just stop and to think about who God is in a relationship with God. Or maybe you were invited to a small group by someone. Whatever it is, God has been inviting you into a relationship with Him. How are you going to respond? Others, you've already believed in the good news. You know that Jesus died for your sin, that He paid that high price, that costly price, for you to have a restored relationship with God. But you've never taken the next step. You've never been baptized. You've never proclaimed to people the good news that you know, the truth that you now know, that Christ has come, Christ has died, Christ has risen. And finally, and maybe the majority of us, we've gotten comfortable with knowing we've been included in God's family, that we've been taken from being an outcast, excluded, and becoming part of God's special people. You've seen Him at work in your own life, changing you from the old you, making you more like Himself. You've seen Him at work in your family. But when's the last time that you shared what you have seen Him do in you with someone else? When's the last time that you've shared that? When's the last time that you've shared the good news of great joy with anyone else? Were you able to catch from the passage kind of what overwhelmed me this week? Kind of what caught me off guard? A hymn that has become such a powerful song, a loved song within the church community, written by someone absolutely unknown to us, unknown in history, who actually penned these words. These shepherds, the first to receive the message that Jesus had finally come, unnamed, unknown, but they still ran around Bethlehem, glorifying the name of God through their songs of praise at what God had done for them. And this morning, that's my prayer for myself, that just like the author of this great hymn, just like these shepherds, that I, as an unimportant and unknown person on this planet, that I would make the most of the mission to glorify God by sharing the same message proclaimed to them 2,000 years ago. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. The Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that that would be our hearts. That we, like those shepherds, recognize the state of uncleanliness that we are in, that we are dirty, that sin has, it's marred us. But like we started out the message saying that You are the one who initiates. You've sent Jesus for us. Now all we do is respond. And I pray that in this moment, that's exactly what we would do. We would respond to this incredibly good news of great joy. That we have been now made right with You because of Jesus' coming, His living, His dying, His rising again. That now we can have a new life in You. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone in here this morning that's never made that decision, never trusted in what Jesus has done, that they wouldn't leave without that. Father, for the rest of us, I pray that we would be like these shepherds. We wouldn't care about our name being honored. We wouldn't care about our name being known. But instead, we would make the message of Jesus Christ, Him coming here to live as one of us, that we would make that our highest ambition and highest priority, to let the message of the gospel be proclaimed from our lips. God, would You put someone on our heart that we might be able to share that with this week? God, so that we can answer that question that I asked a minute ago, and we can say, I have shared it just this week. Let us always be in awe of the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.